But good afternoon, everyone. It's a great day to be in the house of God, isn't it? Everyone happy to be here? Everyone happy to be alive? Well, if I guess if some of you wasn't, we have to take you out of here real quick. So we're glad that you're all alive and that you're doing well. Well, today I'm going to actually talk to you about missions. Can someone say amen? Amen. How many people love missions? I think I see all the hands all over. That's good. Now, some of you that are sitting on the side over there, you may not be able to see our presentation, so you may want to move over a little bit. I mean, if you can't see too far back there, you may want to move up a little bit because we do have a little presentation for you. But I often wonder sometimes, do you ever think that where does mission start? Have you ever thought about that? And today, what I'm going to try to do is show you the heartbeat of God. Can the church say amen? And the service may be just a tad bit different. I may not yell. Turn me up a little bit. But we're going to talk about missions because it is God's heartbeat. And Jesus said this in Matthew 25 and verse 34. He said, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and you gave me meat." Now, we'll listen to the young lady was talking about her trip into Hades. And I heard her say that the feeding program that you have there only feed about 40 people. Is that correct? Well, you know, God is so happy that you can feed 40. For there's some places that's not feeding any. So God is rejoicing that 40 is being fed a day. Can the church say amen? So don't feel like you're not doing too much. This is God's heartbeat. Hallelujah. And it says, "And you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink." It makes me think about Zambia, when we went there and there wasn't a well there. And Reverend Sanchez will remember this. There wasn't a well in Zambia, and they didn't have fresh water to drink. But God, in his faithfulness, when they went to find the place that they could dig for water, and the church went into prayer, and God knew that there was water right on the church property. And today, there is a well there. Can the church say amen? Now, we're going into the missions field. Now, don't just sit there and look at me like, oh, well, I don't know what he's talking about. We are going into the fields today. I want to give you a view of the fields. That's what I want to talk to you about. A view of the fields. Now, I know that some of you will never go there. You will never go there. But when we hear this today, we're going to find you may not ever go there. Let's say in the natural, in the physical. You may not never go there. But when we listen to this report today, we're going to see that we're all going to go there. Can the church say hallelujah? Come on, I need you just to go with me. This is a joyful trip. It is. Even though, you know, you see destruction when you go there. You see so much heartache and so many things. I remember Reverend Eamon talked to me when I was going to take my first trip there. And I'm getting in front of myself. Wow, I'm getting way in front of myself. Because I'm trying to build you up to where I want to go. But she had talked to us, well, to me and some of the people that was going. And she says, you know, she says, this trip that you're going on, it was my first time going. And I'm already petrified about going. Already, I wasn't, you know, because I have to say that it wasn't one of the things that I had always dreamed about or dreamed about doing. It wasn't something I had prayed and asked God, send me to the fields. It wasn't something that I had done. But God saw what was in my heart. He did. He looked beyond me. And he saw what was in my heart. And that I had something to give. and something to offer. And she said to us, she says, you know, when you're going into the fields, she said, you're going to meet many people. And she said, and some that you're going to get to know, you get to talk to. And she said, but when you go back the second time, she said, they may not be there anymore. And she said, so don't let your heart be discouraged about what you may see or what you may happen. But you have to keep pressing on, for God is still moving. He's still moving. You may see all these things that are happening all around us, but God is still moving. God is still on the move. Woo! Don't you just love God? Isn't it? Aren't you just happy that He just don't say, well, this is just too hard. Let's just go on someplace else. Just leave it aside. Aren't you glad that He said it about your life? About your life? Now, I know some of you probably have never been alcoholics, and I have not been one either. Some of you have probably have never been drug addicts, and I have not been one either. But still, I was a sinner lost in sin. I was still lost without a hope. Oh, my goodness. I am getting far away from what I want to say. All right. Where does mission start? Let me finish reading the scripture. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when was thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Can the church say amen? Mission started for me in my home. That's where it started at. 9 years old. That's where it started for me. There was a man that lived in the community. And I am one of 15 children. 15. We have 14, one foster brothers, 15 of us. And now you can imagine, mama's house is already cram packed, and then they go mom and dad and sometime another relative. So it could easily be 21 people in my house with no outsiders. Easily. But there was a man that lived in the neighborhood. And every day at 5:30, supper time, he would come to the house. Every day. I said to my mom one day, I said, Mom, we barely got enough food to feed the family. How on earth can we feed that man? My mom looked at me and she didn't say much, you know. And I asked her again. I said, Mom, we don't have enough. It's too many of us. And we lived on a farm. And at times of the year, we didn't have much. But he came every day. And my mother would look, she would go up in the cabinet and she would take out a plate and she would take out a cup and she would feed him first. She didn't wait till the pot was just about empty to give him the leftovers. No, she fed him first before the family was fed. And she said to me, she says, David, if you give unto the poor, say you will always have. Say God will always make a way for you. He always make a way. And I looked at her and I, you know, being young, you know, you kind of think, well, you know, Mom, but we still only got for so much. But I watched my mom do it month after month after month. And soon a while, that what she had said settled in my heart. And when he came by the next time, I was the one who reached in the cabinet and took out the glass and took out the plate to feed him first. Now the seed that was planted had begun to grow. Glory to God. Now we're talking about missions now. I may say it 1,000 times before it's all over today. So stay with me. And it started to grow. And from there, you know, and God was faithful to that man, and he had his own family. But my mother fed him, and I did the same. That man got saved. And that man passed away. But that man's sister got saved. That man's brother got saved. That man's daughter got saved. His niece and nephew got saved. And they're all saved in the church today. Because one woman decided, I'm going to take a cup and a plate out of a cabinet. I am poor, but he is poorer than I am. But we're all going to eat because God is going to make a way. Mission started there for me. When I was 15 years old, the pastor of my church came to me because we used to give to, with the organization that I was in, and they gave to a mission that was in Africa. And it was a school there, actually, that they funded. And, you know, we always gave to it. And I used to always wonder, you know, why are we giving this money to, you know, these people that we never know, we'll never see. And my pastor prayed. And she said, I pray to God that one day that someone from this church will go into Africa. That's what she said. I pray to God it will happen one day. Well, you know, all of us sitting there, you know. I'm a farmer. I ain't know where Africa was, you know. And she said, she came to me. I was 15 years old. She said, Brother David, she said, the Lord is going to send you to the distant land. I'm looking at her. I'm thinking it was another field that we had to work in. That's what I'm thinking, you know. I'm saying, my God, not another one. That was my understanding at the time. And she said, that's what he's going to do. How much time do I have? Oh, okay. I will try my best not to be long, okay? I will. I'll try my best. And I'm not going to go 4 hours, promise. And so she prophesied. And she said that you're going to go. And I actually laughed at her. I laughed. I thought it was the funniest thing. And I didn't, you know, to me, there were so many in our family that they would pick who would go downtown at certain times. And going downtown was the highlight of the year if you got to go. It was. It was the highlight. And so I never even thought of going any place far, not even leaving Virginia. It was never my desire. But the Lord had something better in store for me. And she said, you're going to go. And I laughed at her. And she said, you may laugh today. She said, but one day my words shall come to pass. They're going to come to pass, David. She said, Brother David, you can believe this. And I felt that kind of like, oh my gosh, you know. When I didn't feel this urgency like to get up and go right quickly, you know, I really didn't. It took 20 years for that to happen. 20 years it took. My pastor had died and gone on to be with the Lord. But I always visited in my mind. Have anyone ever spoke something to you? I mean, years ago, and for some reason, it always come back to your mind. Because I always believed that if someone prophesied and they said something, then it should come to pass. It should happen. So otherwise, they just prophesied a lie. They took on another spirit that said something that wasn't even true, and God never had said it in the first place. They're out there, and you don't watch them come in. Well, Reverend says you talked about that, so I won't go there. And they will. And so I always visit the prophecy just to make sure, you know, I'm like, when is it going to come to pass, you know? When is it going to happen? Every year, from 15 years old, I visit that prophecy that she spoke to me. I was in prayer tower where, and you know, it will be a long story as I tell how Reverend Sanchez and I became friends and how we got in the same church. Well, I came a part of the same church that he's in, and it'll take a long time, so I'm going to kind of skip here and there a little bit, but it's a wonderful story. Can I tell it? No, I won't tell it. But the Lord, you know, one day I after I had started attending the church in Manchester, I was in prayer tower praying. And they was having a team that was going out to Zambia. So I went to prayer tower and started praying. And I was in there praying. I says, God, when their feet touch Zambia, surely mine would touch it too. And I said, when they sang the first song, then I shall be there. And I want to pray like this, you know, and whatever they do, God, I'm going to do it right with them. Never had any intention of actually going. I was just praying like, in the spirit, I'm going with them. Because I was like, you know, someone had asked me, you want to go to four? I said, no, I don't really want to go to the foreign fields. I just want to support everyone who go. There is someone, I'll support you all the way, but I'm not going. That was not, you know, I'm not going. But the Lord has something else in store. And I was sitting in one meeting, and so one of the ushers came by, and he touched me on the shoulder. He says, Brother David, Reverend Ingram want to see you. And I said, oh, she do. And the first thought came in my mind, I had did something wrong. Oh, my God, they're going to get me what I've done wrong. And he had this look on his face, and he pat me on the shoulder like, and I was like, oh, that's a poor you look. that's a poor you look. They're going to really get you. But they didn't see me that time. And so I went home nervous, wrecked. And then Reverend Sanchez had told me again they wanted to see me. It was before church had started, and he was leading the church service, I think. And after he told me, I sat there, and I could not enter in for no reason. I said, they out to get me. And, you know, I just tried to think in my mind what I had done. And they tried to sing the song, and I tried my best to lift my hand to enter in. I could not enter in. And they shout, and I tried to shout, and I tried to jump, and nothing happened. Because fear had overtaken me. It had. For what reason? Just to find out that they had wanted me to go on a mission trip. And when I was walking down the sidewalk, Reverend Eamon pulled up, and she says, Brother David, she said, the Lord spoke to us, and we want you to go on a mission trip. And I stood there for a minute with 1,000 thoughts running through my mind. Why me? Just kind of thinking in my mind. And I said, yes, I'll go. Having no idea that the prayer that I had prayed was becoming a reality. When I got on the plane and we finally got there, I tell you some funny things happened on our way there. I tell you this little thing. We was on the plane and they was kind of looking for me because I like to sleep with a cover over my head. I'm the only person on the whole entire plane got the blanket cover over my head and no one can find me. And put my glasses up on the blanket. So can you imagine that? I'm glad they have no pictures of that. Going on a mission trip. Glory to God. But when I got there and we stepped off the plane, and when I stepped into Africa for the very first time, it was there that my pastor's words ring out so clearly in my ears. Even though she had been dead for 20 years, God and his faithfulness. Let me hear her once again. And she spoke to me. And I have to say, from heaven. And now you all look at me like I'm crazy now. But she spoke to me. And she says, David, and this is the place that God has called you to. Glory to God. And tears fell down my face, and I just started to cry. And I was walking behind Reverend Sanchez and a few others went, and so I kind of like stayed back. I was like, I want them to see me crying because what's wrong with you? But as her prayer, her prophecy had came to pass. It had came to pass. And it came to pass in my life. And it was from there that God began to speak. Where does mission start? The Bible says in Acts 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the uttermost part of the earth. That's where it starts. Now you said, oh, and Reverend Ham, they're talking about the Holy Ghost. Don't you need the Holy Ghost to go to missions? Don't you? Listen to Reverend Sanchez's story he told about the woman that was possessed with a demon. You better have the Holy Ghost. That's the only way you can make a difference, right? Why? Because you got to evangelize while you're there, right? You got to bring the word. And you know, they want a word that is filled of the power and the anointing of God. That's what makes all the difference. And now, let us look at this. First, we have Sister Sarah. Come on, Sister Sarah. Right here. This is where it's going to start at. Jerusalem. Everyone's at Jerusalem. This is where it starts at. Anyone been to Jerusalem before? Anyone been there? Oh, glory to God. That's all right. But this is where it's going to start at. You're going to be sent out from here. But we're going to look at Jerusalem in a different kind of way today. And Sister Sarah is going to turn the church. It's going to start in the church. That's where it's going to start from. It's going to start from the house of God. Oh my God. It's going to start here at these altars. While you're praying and seeking God. That's where it's going to start at. Now you know, because Sister Sarah is the church. She is representing the start of missions. It's going to start out from here. Because you have to have a starting place. And why not the house of God? Why not? Why not start from the church? From the house of God. And you know, and she's a part of the church. Let the church say amen. Amen. Now she's not some outsider looking in. Or someone that don't have any place. And say, oh, I'm going to do this. But she's a part of the house of God. So by her being a part of the house of God, the anointing that comes from the altar is going with her. This is missions. This is where it starts from. Now every church should have prayer. Where is our prayer at? Oh, here we go. Good to have prayer, isn't it? So every church, stand right here. Every church should have prayer. Come on this way a little bit. It's a sad church that don't have prayer. If you don't pray, I'm telling you, I don't know how on earth you do anything from God. I don't know. But thank God that the church in prayer. We got prayer in the church. We got somebody coming out, calling on the name of Jesus. And says, God, help us and guide us and keep us and heal us and bless us, you know. And God, send your presence. God be here. So what prayer does, The church is here, and the altar is here. So what prayer does, it moves amongst the altar. We come to the altar for prayer. Here we go. Do you see it? Now how many say that we don't need the altar? How many say we don't need prayer? How many say we don't need to come here? That it's of no use to come here at all. But prayer. Oh my God. And you know what prayer does? It attaches itself to the church. Now watch this. Stay right there. If my pastor was here, she'll love this. Yellow is her favorite color. Prayer attaches itself to the church. Whew, there we go. Now we got a line. Because we need a line. Glory to God. And I know you can't see this in the spirit, but you know, this is what happened. We need this line. We need it. It's necessary that we have it. Prayer. Because since mission starts here, and we have prayer here, and now it's got to connect itself to something else. Prayer changes things.
Amen.
Now we start in the church. We start with our families. And we start with our friends. You know, we invite our friends to church, right? You want all your friends to be saved, right? And all you definitely want all your family to be saved, right? You don't care whether they're sick, crazy, way out in hoo-wah land. You still want them to be saved. So the prayers, they prevail at the church. It goes out. And what if prayer goes to? It goes to the next stop. And the next stop is Judea. Sister Mia. Come on. Here we go. Now, Judea, we got Jerusalem, it's the church. Now, we got Judea here, a little ways from Jerusalem. But he told them, first you start in Jerusalem. You started in the church. You got to start in the church first. You're not going any place unless you start in the church. And you got to start with prayer. You ain't going any place if you don't pray. You ain't going in a place. No, you can't even sing a song if you don't pray. You can't testify if you don't pray. You can't dare lift the offering if you don't pray. Oh, glory to God. Don't sing if you don't pray. Don't even play an instrument in the church if you don't pray. Don't even mow the lawn if you don't pray. Glory to God. Don't even wash a dish if you don't pray. So prayer is a part of the church. And now we're going into Judea. And where is Judea? Now we're going out into the community. The church should be a part of the community. Everyone should know that there's a church in the community that serves God. Everyone should know. Everyone should walk by. It should be like the scriptures that says this. Ye are the light of the world. A city that sets on a hill that cannot be hid. The church. And now the church is the light in the community. If you leave the light on, Reverend Frazier, leave it on in the church. So when someone stops by, they'll know they have help. When they're lost, they can find help. Because there's a light in the church. Glory to God. There's a light in the church. So the community can see God. And so prayer attaches itself to the community. Still the church now. It's still coming out from the church. You understand this, right? It's still going from the church. No, just leave it coming along. Oh, glory to God. The community stretched out. Stretches out. And the community stretches out. The church is expanding, is reaching more and more and more in the community. And prayer is still in the church. The lifeline. Prayer is still there. And from the community, what happens then? And next, prayer attaches itself again. Come on. And it goes from the community. And the scripture says that the next stop that they were to go to is Samaria. Come on, Brother John. Come on down, Brother John. Glory to God. Now we have Samaria. Now we don't start out from Jerusalem, which is the church. We got to Judea, which is the community. And now we are here in Samaria. That's what we are here next. And what does Samaria represent? Have any idea? Well, now, Samaria represents, and turning around, the state. Who actually is the head of the state? The church. Pastor Fraser. He's the man of God in the state. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How do you know? Well, you know, it's really amazing that. And I listened to, I can't think of the brother's name over there. Name is?
Leon.
Brother Leon. Had a great time talking with him. Told me a wonderful story about a lady and tornadoes. Really great, great story. But you know, I was thinking that when you talk about the state, then I put states in USA, so we're stretching out across the USA. The church is. Wherever there's a need, the church tries to help support that need. Wherever it is at. Wherever it may be, the church tries to help support it. That need. I'm talking right here in the states now. We're going to get to the other part in a few minutes. But they try to support the need there in every state and in their state alone. So if there were a severe storm come to this state, to the state that you live in, since the church is the head of the state, the church get together and began to pray. They say it's a category 5 and it's going to rip the state apart. But the church start to pray. Oh my God, you don't see this. The church start to pray and to believe God. And they lift up hands and said, God, there's a storm coming. But you ride on the storm. And you control the storm. And surely you can make a way for us. And the church prevail. And the 5 become a 4. And the 4 become a 3. And the 3 become a 2. And the 2 become a 1. And by the time it hit the state, it's just a tropical storm. Because the church prevail. We are talking about missions now. Come on, we are talking about missions. It started there. Then branches out. And got to the community. Then we finally got to the states and all the states. Like when Pastor called a prayer last night because of the teen that was trapped in New York. What a great example. There's nothing we can do. We can't even stop the storm. But we can believe God that God can make a way for them. So the church began to pray. Oh my God, are we going to see that team sometime today or maybe tomorrow? We'll see them all coming home safely because the church went into prayer. And so the prayer attaches itself to the... I put it on the wrong side. I did. I put the holes on the wrong side. Okay, you attach it on this side. To this day. And now, we're going into the foreign missions fields. It said to the uttermost parts of the earth. The uttermost part. Where is the uttermost part? It's the outermost. Where is the outermost part? Extreme places. The hardest places you ever can imagine. It's the utmost places. They are situated at the farthest that you can reach. As far as you can see, they are out there. At the most distant point. The outermost is far out. Jesus. And the utmost, it means the same. It is where the greatest need is. Jesus. In the highest degree. They have no quantity of numbers or amount. But it's a matter of concern to God. Glory to God. For Psalms 139 in verse 1 to 12. Jesus. But before we get there, where's the uttermost? It is a pathway that leads down to a little girl in a house in Zambia who is laying on the floor dying. It is the uttermost. Where a man of God being talked to by God is stuck in that house. Oh my God. It is the uttermost place. And God in his faithfulness, because God talked to him and he prayed for her. And today she is up and doing well. It's the uttermost place, Reverend Sanchez. Where is the uttermost place? Jesus. It is a boat. Going down the Amazon River, Jesus, in the jungles of Peru, a pastor who has come far and near just to hear a word from the Lord. It is the uttermost places, Jesus. Where is the uttermost? Where is the uttermost? It is a man who is laying dying. And he is in the pits of hell. And he is asking the Lord, or he is pleading out for help, and saying, can somebody help me? If I can only get one drink of water, can anyone help me? Glory to God. Can anyone pull me out of this place? It's the uttermost place. It's the farthest away as could be. Burning in a dying hell, burning. But it was the uttermost place. But thank God for the word of God. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his holiness. Thank God for his power. Oh, glory to God. Thank the preacher, who are you talking about? I'm talking about a man that I knew when I worked in a convalescent home. He was a priest, dying without God, cast into hell. He said to me, he said, David, can you pull me out? And I said, where are you? I said, what do you mean pull you out? I'll pull you up. He says, no, pull me out. He said, I can feel the fire burning me. He said, it's just burning. He said, David, it's burning. It's just burning me. He said, please, please, I beg you, pull me out. Glory to God. I stood there. With tears in my eyes. Didn't know what to do. I really did not say, God, When he needed a drink of water, I gave it to him. When he needed to eat, I fed him. When he needed to go to the bathroom, I took him there. I said, but God, there's nothing I can do. And he says, David, he says, if you can only give me just a drop of water. He says, one drop on my tongue will do. He says, that's all. Just one drop. He said, that's all I need. He says, and I gave him the water. And he says, and he couldn't even taste it. Couldn't even feel it in the uttermost place. Glory to God. But God in his faithfulness, I went and stood by his bed. And I says, God, I know you can do it. I know you can pull him up. I know you can pull him out. My God, there's nothing too hard for you. For you said you went down to hell and you took the key to the hell, death and the grave. My God, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Glory to God. And God in his faithfulness, in an instant, a dying man, he looked at me and I said, Father Donahue, rest in Jesus. I said, he's going to take good care of you. I said, he's going to pull you out. Don't you dare worry. And he looked at me and I said, be at peace and rest in the Lord. Oh my God. All the fear left his face. All the torment left him. And he laid his head back. I thrust his pillow. And I said, close your eyes and know that God is with you. It was his last journey. His last journey. I know some people believe that when you're on your last, they'll say goodbye, see you later. But I'm here to tell you, if they don't have God, can the church say amen? You better go a little bit farther. You better press a little bit harder. My God. And I talked to him and he laid back. And he rested his head upon the pillow. And he closed his eyes. Glory to God. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, step back. I'm going to do a miracle. Oh, glory to God. I stepped back from the bed just to see what God was going to do. And this man took his last breath. Pastor Sonder would say this, believe it or leave it. That's what he would say. So you can either believe it or leave it. And while he was laying there, all of a sudden his spirit set up and I saw it. Glory to God. God opened my eyes. And he turned and he looked me in the face. And he smiled and he bowed his head to say farewell. Glory to God. And he turned back around. And in an instant, he was taken up and a light filled the room. God is faithful. God is faithful. The uttermost parts of the world. Way out there. Sometimes when no one will come. Jesus. My God, the uttermost part. But look at prayer. Church, are you still praying? Yeah, church still praying. Glory to God. Sister Margie, would you come here for a minute, please? Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. She wasn't really a part of it, but I just wanted to call her. You know why? She's a worker. Someone put her in the church. Why, she's going to strengthen prayer. Glory to God. Then she got more than one, but she got two. Glory to God. Can we get? How about this young lady right here? What's your name? Yes. Michelle? Come on, Michelle. Where's she going? Come be a part of the church. Oh, we have... We have some wisdomers, and then we got some young people in the church. They're right there. They're in the church. And you know what they're doing? They're praying. And they're talking to God. God, make a way because something has to happen at the uttermost. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, Pastor, would you come? Pastor Spencer. Okay. Thank you. Come on, Pastor. Glory to God. What are we doing? We are working on the building. We are building the church. When we probably would have stopped when the first we got the church here. Okay. Here we go. Now we got a pastor. We got a sister that represents all of the wisdom and the ones in between. And we got the young people. And the church is still praying. Glory to God. Prayer is still there. Now the pastor has called the prayer. So we got to pray because something needs to happen in the uttermost place. Glory to God. And what is the uttermost place? In the uttermost place, we're not going to attach prayer just yet. In the uttermost place, we got Haiti in there. That in the uttermost place. So the church is praying. Come on, church, let's start to pray. Come on, church, just pray. Come on, pray with the church. Come on, pray with... Don't you pray for your church? Don't you pray for your church? Glory to God. I know you said, well, this is just a play, this is a... But let's just pray for the church. Let's pray as if there's a need in your church right now. Glory to God. Let's pray if there's a great need that is in your church right now. And you need God to answer. Glory to God. You need to prevail and to push through until God answer. Hallelujah, Jesus. For the church is praying for the uttermost places. My God in Hades. God help us. God make a way for us. God open doors for us. God let us see the thousand. God in Jesus' name. We may see the devastation, but let us see you more, God. Let us see you making a way. Let us see you open the door. My God in Jesus' name. Set us back again. Set us forth more help. My God to the uttermost places. And the church prayed. 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 And while the church prayed, prayer attaches itself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Make sure you attach this one to this one. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're trying to get you a picture here. We're trying to get you a vision here. We're trying to let you see what happened. And that it all starts here. My God, that what it all flows out from. If it don't happen in the church, it's not going to happen in the uttermost places. My God, if the church don't prevail, there's no answer in the uttermost places. If the church don't prevail, there's no answer in the community. If the church don't prevail, there's no answer in the state. If the church don't prevail, there is no answer for the uttermost places. Oh, Shababa Shakaya Baba Haya. Healable Sundarable Siki Baba Haya. Rundable Sealable Sundarababa Haya. Let the Bosiki Baba Haya. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. If they don't prevail, come on, prayer, go back this way. Go all the way back. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And watch this. Glory to God. Prayer again attaches itself to the church. And watch this. Glory to God. You got to see this. When prayer attaches itself to the church again, there's not a need in the community. So prayer keep on going. And the church is still prevailing. There is not a need in the state. and prayer keep on going. But there is a need in Armenia. Glory to God. A little house called the house of hope. And there's a need in Armenia. And so what prayer does, it comes by all of those things and all of these things. Oh my God, we don't have enough there. Oh, thank you. My God. And so what prayer does, it comes by all the rest. Glory to God. And he finds out that there's a need right there in Armenia, in a far corner of the world, in a little place called the House of Hope. My God, where they bring elders and senior citizens on the last journey from earth to heaven. But there is a need in Armenia. There is a need in the House of Hope. And prayer comes along and attaches itself. My God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I probably should have made this rain a little bit longer. But you get the picture. It attaches itself. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. It attaches itself to Armenia, that God will meet the need, that the need will be met there, and that God will make a way there. My God, mission is flowing. My God, it is flowing from here. That's where it starts from. It starts from right here, and it moves on out, and it keeps on moving, and it keeps on moving, and God is still answering prayer. My God. And prayer, you can just turn this loose. Prayer got an answer. Prayer got an answer. The need was met in Armenia. My God. Prayer goes skipping back to the church. Glory to God. And they bring in the testimony. And say, God still answer prayers. God still make ways. God still open doors. God still is our provider. He is our Savior. Our deliverer. God. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for prayer. The mission starts in the church. That's where it starts at. It starts right there in the church. My God. So if you are part of church, then you are part of mission. My God. But you know what about the church? The community moves over. And the state moves over. The uttermost parts become a little bit closer now. Why? Because they're coming into the church. Now we can see what is happening. Like the sister said, now we can bring back a report. It may not give you a clear picture of what happened in the uttermost places. But the uttermost places, the state, and the community. Come on, move on in. We're moving on into the church. Move on in. Moving on into the church. Come on, prayer, stay right here. We're moving on into the church. Come on, pastor, right here. And what do we see? We only see the church. Glory to God. It is not for your glory. It is not for my glory. It is not for me to boast that I've done this or I've done that and I did this. But it is the church. It is the church. It is the church. My God. It is the church. It is the church that prevails. Mission. It is the church. Oh, glory to God. It is the church. My God, that's where it flows from. You may not see any of the rest. Hallelujah. You may not. But prayer stands out. And that church, and that pastor, and those believers, and that way God can answer in the community. And that way God can answer in the state. And that way God can answer in the uttermost place. Because it flows from the church. And this is mission. This is mission. This where it started at. And this where it shall be at. This is mission. You say, how far? Glory to God. How far can it reach? How far can mission reach? Glory to God. And this is my last scripture. So how far? Oh, glory to God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about your name. You say, how far can the church reach? Oh, glory to God. It reach the community, the states, and the uttermost places. You say, how far? Where some have fled so far away, and they think they have no hope of returning. My God. It's something there's no answer for them. And there's no way that they can get out. But the Bible says this. Glory to God. Whether I shall go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence, if I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, he said, thou art there. Behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost places, even there, thy hand, my God, is going to lead me. And it's going to guide me. Now I need a missionary. Come on, I need a missionary. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now the pastor and the church has prayed for this missionary, this mission team. Glory to God. Because God needs our hands. And He needs our feet. And He needs our voice. My God. And so He needs us to go into the utmost places. So the church pray. And prayer grabs a hold. My God. And so they said, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to send prayer with you. While we're going to the uttermost places. And prayer takes them by the hand. And they're going to the uttermost places. Because the Bible says this again. Hallelujah, Jesus. And this way it says once more. It says, if I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost place, in the uttermost parts of the sea, he said, even thy hand shall lead me. My God, and thy right hand shall uphold me. So whatever happened in the utmost places, we got a missionary there been sent by God, my God, to bring back a report that God is moving, and that God answers prayers, and that God make ways, and that, oh yes, we can do it. We can take the land, my God, because prayer changes things. Where does it come from? Okay, going back to church. And we're just about finished. Come on, missionary. Here's missions. Here you go. Right here. It is the church. That's what it is. It starts here. And from here, it goes out. Glory to God. And it goes out with a special anointing to accomplish all that God has intended for it to be. And the word of God shall not return void. The church is going to get an answer. And then the congregation stand. And then the congregation stand. Jesus. And the congregation, because the church has received an answer, the congregation began to to rejoice. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. A double speaking by Baba. Oh, glory to God. My giving was not in vain, and they rejoiced. My praying was not in vain, and the church rejoiced. My helping out was not in vain, and the church rejoiced. And somebody gets so happy that they step out in the aisle. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And somebody else gets so happy that they step out in the aisle. Will someone step out? Oh, two, you can step out too. We got two that's stepping out in the aisle. And somebody else gets so happy that they step out in the aisle. Can someone step out? And someone else gets so happy that they stepped out in the aisle. Can someone else step out? And someone else gets so happy that they stepped out in the aisle. Can someone else step out? And someone else gets so happy that they stepped out in the aisle. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And the church rejoice. And the church rejoice. Glory to God. Glory to God. And somebody got so happy. They said, I can't stay in the back any longer. But I got to come all the way up front. My God. And I'm going to walk across what prayer has been. And I'm going to lift my hands. And I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, that you made a way for. Thank you, Jesus, that you opened doors for. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our keeper and that you are our provider. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you. And somebody else walks out and they say, she's thanking him. Then I'm going to thank him too. And I'm going to walk down the aisle and I'm going to thank him also. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Then somebody else, they steps out and says, well, I'm going to praise him too. And they start to walk in also. Then somebody else, they steps out and said, I'm going to praise him too. And then we have another one that steps out that I'm going to praise him too. Come on. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. We got some people that's glad about mission. They're stepping out. I'm not even asking them to. And they're just stepping out and walking down. So I want to be a part of what's happening in the church. I want to be a part of what's happening in the church. I love mission. And I'm going to be a part of what's happening. Whew. In the church. Will you come forth? Will you come forth? And I'm not going to ask you a lot of times. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory to God.